Blog Talk Radio.
I've had my share. Life's ups and downs. God's been good to me.
Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it blesses me to welcome you all here to another installation of Wounded No More with your anointed host, Pastor Vanessa Carver, for this Thursday, July 20th, 2023. Now, my brothers and sisters, please get something to write with, write on, retrieve your Bibles, and prepare to receive a Rhema word from your host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to Wounded No More, and we are doing a series on rejection. We're nearing the home stretch, and I just want everybody to know that this has been very, there's so many words that I can think about this series that I'm doing, but it's like, as you know, I always say this, the word cuts, it cuts coming and going. I'm not presenting this because I feel like I have it all together as it pertains to this subject, but I have also, things have surfaced in my life, and I knew that was going to happen. When you study something and you decide to teach it, the Holy Spirit will shine lights on areas in your own life where there needs to be more work. Thank God for that, because he is loving and he is just. He's not one-sided. And so I'm not teaching from a place where I've been totally delivered from this issue, but I thank God for where he has delivered me from. And I also thank him for not keeping me in the dark for areas that we need to work, that I need to work on. And so tonight we're going to focus on, for the rest of this series, which probably maybe one or two more sessions, healing and restoration and rebuilding and establishing and reestablishing things. You see, once you begin to be healed, which is really my whole platform for Wounded No More, it's about having a lifestyle and a way that you decide to live your life from a place where you are what? Not wounded anymore. You're not living from that core. And as we know of the weeks prior, we went over the spirit of rejection in so many different areas. And I truly, this whole series is just scratching the surface. So please, I hope that if that's your the weight or the or the burden that you have, you may want to continue to study this on your own. There are so many great resources. I had cited several books over the time, and at the end of the series, I will go over and do a review of all the previous weeks that we studied this. But today, we are going to talk about the spiritual warfare aspect of healing and restoration. And I will be referring to different scriptures, but you know what? When I think of this subject, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament is Nehemiah, and how Nehemiah was called to rebuild the gates and the walls of Israel, of Jerusalem. And he first saw the gates and the walls in disarray. He had heard of it. But through the whole book, from chapter one all the way to the last chapter, it is so much an analogy of what goes on in our lives when we try to rebuild from a place of brokenness, where things have been broken down, and a place of woundedness too, if you will. This is what the spirit of rejection will create. But nobody ever talks about the resistance that happens when you decide, not only am I going to be healed, I'm healed in Jesus' name, and I'm on my way to being whole, right? So it's one thing to be healed, but it's one thing to be whole. You know, Jesus said this many times in the New Testament, how when he would go to heal, there were certain ones he would lay hands on before he had a little conversation with them. He said, would you be made whole? And that's a holy, that's a way of living. That's a way of what you, your a mentality that has to be, you have to be engaged in your healing process. There's not a magic wand that he waves over us and we are well. So we want to talk about that tonight and the resistance. When I define resist, to do with to mock spiritually or to discourage when one is confronting historically demonic access. So resistance in this case is what I want to talk about very briefly, because I don't think we always expect resistance when we are healed. We don't always feel like, maybe we don't wrap our minds about how that is something that we in the body of Christ, as it pertains to a level of discipleship, I'm going to be real with you and tell you, there will be resistance. It's just likened unto when someone gets saved, when they first get saved, and they're so full of zeal, they're so excited about their newfound salvation and their new way of living, and they never stop to think about the resistance that will come. It seems like every demon in hell is resisting them for because of their decision to follow Christ. Well, it's likened unto that when we become healed. And when it comes to resistance, if you remember me speaking about this, it's not a big, it's not a small spirit. It's a huge one. It's one of the biggest ones next to fear that we see in this world, is the spirit of rejection. And so when you begin to become healed in that, just as layers come off, you will be, there's resistance that you will confront, that you will face, mocking. You know, like even in the book of Nehemiah, you remember the mockers? I think it was Tobias. And I can't think of all the different ones because I don't really want to dwell on the scripture. I want you to be encouraged, or that scripture anyway, in the book of Nehemiah, to tell that whole story. But if you think about the mocking spirits that come and say, you can't do nothing, that come and say, I knew you when, you, God is delivering you from this spirit of rejection, and you are new, and things are new, and you're in a teachable spirit now where you weren't before. So there will be people that will confront that new you. They will confront historically what you've allowed the enemy to tell you and what he had you doing and what spirit of rejection. And as you remember, the spirit of rejection manifests in so many different ways: fear, pride, unforgiveness, depression, perfectionism. We can go over and name a couple of them. I'm going to name one more. But the way paranoia, distrust, indecisiveness, fantasy, lust, perversion. So as you begin to lay all those things aside and walk out of that and walk from the ashes, and God is creating beauty in your life, you will become, there will become resistance to what God is building in you. I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to understand that resistance is yours. If you believe that it is yours today, the moment that God begins to heal you from the spirit of rejection, restoration is yours. And it's something that has to be developed, and it's something that you have to believe in, because it is available to you because of what Jesus said. And in your salvation and in you being healed, there are places in your soul, really, that this is about. It's about your will, your mind, and your emotions. Those areas are being restored. Those areas are being rebuilt, because the moment that you say, I'm going to be healed from this, God is healing me. I'm repenting from things. I'm putting on more of the word. I'm believing the word. I'm walking out in faith. These different things that you decide to do, they change your mind. They help you know how to turn away from different things that the spirit of rejection manifested in your life. And so you are on your path to restoration. So not getting there, you are there. Not on your way, you are there. So now you have to start building. And if you think of it this way, many of us can get a visual of maybe a deck of cards building. You know how we used to do that as, you know, pastime when we got bored in the summer, especially, we would see who could build the highest house with a deck of cards. But even more so, Legos, blocks, anything you can build, sticks, anything you're going to build, you're going to what? Protect. So you start thinking about that. Resistance comes even on your path, on your path to restoration. You have to protect what you're building. You have to guard it, and you have to be led, and how that, what that looks like for you and your life. These are healing places, healthy relationships, your everyday life, how you, what your disciplines are, what your sacred disciplines are. Everything is built around to protect what God is doing in your life in this place of healing. And if we go to Proverbs 25, verse 28, I'm going to read from there. And from time to time, I'll read from the Amplified to the not New Life, but I like to read from the ESV and the Amplified, and sometimes I'll just go back and forth between those two. Okay, so I'm going to go read from the ESV. Okay, and it says, like a city that is broken down without walls, leaving it unprotected, is a man who has no self-control over his spirit and sets himself up for trouble. So when you think about that life as a person that's rejected, many times I can say this for myself, I felt out of control and didn't know how to get in control. It just seemed everything was out of whack. Everything was chaotic. And when you understand that that emanates from the spirit of rejection, you're like, okay, so this is the reason why things feel out of control, or I feel like I can't control it, I can't help it, and all this other stuff. It is a city broken down. It is a city broken into and left without walls. So if you think of an abandoned building, or you think of an abandoned house, or a house that is in disarray, or a house from the outside that looks like nobody lives in it, and maybe all you see is a bunch of trash around it. What is it without protection? Nobody's protected it. There's no walls protecting it. There's no city, you know, and it's broken into. Sometimes you see how people have broken into and do their business and leave. Our lives are like that. There's an area in our soul that is likened unto that broken down place, a place without protection, a place where we are not even accessing a place to be protected. We're just out there living. This is what we see every day in our world, people and things out of control, and I call it lawlessness. We have to realize that in some cases, when we see lawlessness, that what that emanates from is a stronghold of rejection. And it could be so complex, but you can understand it from the spirit and be able to understand what that is. So we are not talking about, we're not going to be a city that is broken down and without protection. Once you decide to be healed, God is restoring you. You are going to be built up. And the different things that we see in this is a place of healing. Things have to be established. There needs to be sure foundation. But don't be afraid to dismantle, and don't be afraid to guard, and begin to know, Lord, what does guarding look like in my life right now as it pertains to areas of my soul? What does it look like? Well, I said discipline and having a regimented life, reading the word, praying, getting around like-minded people, not in a clique. Not in a click. Get somewhere where you can grow in a body of believers that will strengthen you, that will challenge you even with old thinking and things that were from that other life. And there you begin to feel stronger, and you will feel protected because God's going to protect you. And those people in your life are definitely in a place where they protect you spiritually. And in some cases, naturally, if you don't have a place to go, if you feel like you don't need, you know, you're lonely, sometimes if you just bond or get around the right people, they'll make you have a spirit of peace because they're about peace. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26-27, it says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wife, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. I'm reading this because I realize that when we resist, when the resistance comes, what do we want to do? We want to fight. We want to push back. And we have to be careful of the anger, that it doesn't produce something that is against the process of our healing. You know, be angry, but don't sin. You know, you're going to get angry. when you feel like something is coming against something that God is doing in you. Sometimes you just get really mad. You get mad at the circumstances. Sometimes you get mad at yourself because there's something inside of us that makes us believe that when God is for us, nobody else is going to be against us. But really, the word does say that when God is for us, who can be against us? But you will get resistance. And sometimes we'll get angry about, I was doing good. And now, but don't go back to that old sin. Don't go back to that old broken down place. Begin to push through that. And don't give an opportunity or an open door for the enemy to tear down everything that God is building in your life. I believe I'm talking to somebody. I prayed earlier today that I would have a word in my mouth for somebody who is maybe being distracted or being detoured. They have done well. God is healing them. They are actually in the place where God is building and showing them what it is to protect what he is restoring in them, and they're about to turn back. I don't know what's going on. Whoever you are, man or woman of God, be encouraged. Don't give opportunity to the enemy. Understand that resistance is all a part of what we go through, but you have overcome. You don't have to be overwhelmed. You've overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So don't be afraid to talk back to that spirit that's trying to push you back or tell you you haven't made any progress. You're making baby steps. Nobody, you're not really doing anything. You're making it bigger than what it is. Shut that voice down in the name of Jesus, because if anybody can relate to this, when it comes to that spirit of rejection, just like the spirit of fear, it talks a lot to you. And what it does is it whispers to you where nobody else can hear it but you. Mm-hmm. And it's a harassing type of a feeling and a harassing type of a spirit. And it's almost like a sneer or a hiss from a snake. But we're going to shut that down right now in Jesus' name, because I know people get harassed when they're by themselves, when they're under pressure, when they're feeling alone, when they're in a new place. That's when they hear those voices. That's when they don't know, okay, what is this? Is this me? Or it's really the enemy trying to resist. But we're to resist him and he will flee. Don't give opportunity. Don't get be angry. Don't sin. Do not let your anger cause you or shame you, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. Deal with it right away. Speak the word over yourself, whatever the case may be. Get in a high place. And when I say high place, I mean get in a place where you can be above the noise spiritually. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin again by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. You got to be careful. But this is all what comes with that spiritual warfare. This is real. Don't tell somebody they're mentally unstable because they're hearing voices when they have tried to do what the enemy has tried to walk away from that lifestyle, that this is the house that rejection built. But God is trying to build a house that healing and wholeness built and is building. Mm-hmm. They're trying to walk away from it, and they get inundated and shut down. But we have to remember he has caused us to be more than conquerors. Shut down that. You will get angry. You will get some people get depressed. Nevertheless, don't give the enemy a door. Close it right away. Don't be dishonest about your emotions either. You're going to have those feelings. Don't. Self-control is the fruit of the spirit. Don't let them overtake you. Say, okay, I see what this is. It's a strategy. Listen, everyone, everything that I am learning through a lot of things is a strategy. God gives us a strategy, right? Even when Apostle Cook did the prayer about war room, I always saw that as a place of strategies. And the enemy has strategies too. He has strategies. We should not be ignorant of any of his strategies. You got to know how he comes at you. One thing I do know, I was dealing with something probably a couple of days ago, and the Lord said this. He said, now, you know that's a strategy of the enemy. He said, but he's not very creative. Done. It's the same old thing that he's math. He's not creative. It's the same thing. And I was like, it sure is. And I'm stepping right in. He said, now step right out of it. See what it is. So God wants you to be knowledgeable. He wants you to understand what you're dealing with. He wants to wants you to understand that the enemy has traps and snares for you, but then there's snaps and traps that we set for ourselves. So we can't blame it all on him. But understand, don't get in your own way. The enemy sure will get in your way, but don't you get in your own way. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." So remember I talked about that broken down city that was in Proverbs 25, a city without walls, versus now that you've walked away from this, now that you've decided I'm going to put myself in a place where I will be healed, I will be restored, you are that city on a hill, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So as God begins to heal you, don't hide under a bushel. Don't be shame-based. Don't be sin-conscious. Let your light shine. Mm-hmm. Guess what, though? Some people don't like the light. They don't like to be exposed. That's not your job to expose. You walk in will expose them, not you saying, I expose you or you're doing this. It's your light. It's what your life changing. So everybody don't like the light's on. We need to be honest about that. Some people would like, turn the light off. I don't want the light on. I can't see with the light on. Have you ever heard people say that? Turn the light on is too. Turn the light off is too bright. So we need to be aware of these types of obstacles in our life that come against us healing from resistance. The Lord really wants to say, you don't hide your. You're a city on a hill. And if you've ever looked at a cityscape and you're in a high place, you can see the lights that light up the city all the way from a place where you're looking down at the city. I used to live in California, and I lived in the valley. No, Mission Valley. I lived in Mission Valley, which means it's lower than the hill. So there was a Mission Valley and Mission Hills. And I remember at night, I could go on my balcony and look up to the hills and see the landscape. I could see the lights on, the city on a hill. You could see it from miles and miles away. It was beautiful. That's what we are. We are those cities on the hill. When we decide to be healed, don't you know we illuminate the light in dark places, even when there's a blackout? If there's light, it shines even further. When we live in a dark world or dark areas in our cities, in our communities where everything is dark and bleak and hopeless, we are that light on the hill. It's like a lighthouse, you know, in the middle of the water. And it illuminates all the darkness. And so I just want everybody to be encouraged. Don't hide your light. And don't be surprised when somebody else sees your light. And don't be surprised if somebody doesn't like the light they see.
Amen.
And that's all a part of it. Don't draw back. That's what I want everybody to say. Don't draw back. Don't hide. Because you are going to be seen. In Matthew 17:21, it talks about, but this kind of demon does not come except by prayer and fasting. So that's in Matthew 17:21. And did you know that some Bibles don't even have taken that verse out? And he talked about this kind of demon. Let me go back to that because I feel like that's incomplete. So I want to go to Matthew 17 so I can give you more context and background to that. But I had heard somebody teach and say that that verse is not in a lot of, it'll skip a verses 20 and then it'll go to 22. They've taken out verses 21. And it says it's not found in a lot of versions. And I'm like, why would they take that out? Well, there's a reason for it. So if we go to Matthew 17 and let's see where it starts here, where it talks about that specifically. Okay. Jesus heals the boy with the demon. It starts from verse 14 all the way down to verse 20 and 21. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him, and he said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. He suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said,
why could we not cast it out? And he said to him, because they had little faith. So truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And then in verse 21, which they take out, it says, you are the light. Let me hold on. But this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so he was talking about epilepsy. But I want people to see in this verse, the reason why I mentioned it is because a lot of times it has to do with our faith. Everything that we're doing, what we believe, what we don't believe, even being able to receive from the Holy Spirit has to do with a place of faith. As you're going through your healing, as God is restoring things in you, don't be afraid to do what it takes to get free, to stay free, to protect. Certain things, this is just an example of a direct instruction. Prayer and fasting is needed because of the type of demon that this young man had. And that's why, that's not why the apostles couldn't, I mean, the disciples couldn't cast them out. It's because they didn't believe, they didn't have faith. So mm-hmm. I want everybody to be very sensitive to the vulnerabilities that you still may have on your way. And sometimes you're going to have to exercise a level of discipline. Prayer and fasting is a good one. And, of course, Spirit Alive has been doing a phenomenal job with prayer and talking about prayer and teaching about prayer and practicing that discipline. We pray together. But you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that there are a lot of ministries, not a lot, but there have been many ministries over the last month or two that have been doing the same thing. They are emphasizing intercession. They are emphasizing prayer and how important it is and how sacred it is and how it's important and challenging us, especially as servant leaders, to get on board with that. So I know we're right in the vein of where we're supposed to be as it pertains to prayer. And as long as you're going to stay on your knees when you decide I'm going to be healed, believe it. You're going to stay on your knees. Mm-hmm. I used to say you're going to stay on your face for real because of the decision to be whole is always going to minister to you in a place where things will surface. Certain things will surface at different places of transition. I thought I was all the way healed. I thought. Well, there's more work to do. That's all. And every time you get stronger and stronger and more discerning and more wiser. So, you know, let the enemy come what may, just get more whole, become more whole, know how to maintain that, know how to protect it. And meanwhile, that's going on with you. You're still ministering. You're still ministering. You're still serving in some kind of capacity. In Psalms 34, verses 18, the Lord is near to those of a broken heart, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, contrite in heart, and truly sorry for their sin. Now, the reason why I mentioned this verse is because the level of humility and the level of repentance got to be real, y'all. It's ongoing. Mm-hmm. It's not just one stop at the altar and that's it. No. It's an ongoing thing, and always ongoing. The level of brokenness that has to happen in you, and I'm not saying to stay broken in a place of woundedness, but just for repentance really brings you to a place where things are being tenderized. That's what I like to say, tenderized, hard places. Years and years of living in a spirit of rejection, was that going to make you soft? No, you're really, and more likely, kind of hard, really hard. So there are things that you will be going through that will break your heart. You're thinking, I'm healed. You're thinking, I'm not ever going to be hurt again. And there are things that are going to be breaking your heart. Not just things that you have done or when God gives you revelation about something somebody else did to you, but anything to me, I have to look at it this way, that breaks my heart is going to strengthen me in some other way to be tender, right, to be sympathetic, empathetic, sensitive to the presence of God first and foremost and to others.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to serving. It makes you so sensitive. It's like you got your heart on your sleeve at that point. When you were living in a place of rejection, it was hard. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen people just so hard? You know, and I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about people that don't know God or who are not saved.
or who are not serving. I'm talking about hard, hard. So let the Lord, let this issue, or not this issue, but let this process break some things down. And because it's a good place, it creates you to be more sensitive. You become more contrite. You even become more sensitive and to the Holy Spirit, His presence,
yes.
His power.
Goodness,
you know, and you're less likely to do things in your own strength too. You'll stop doing that too. Stop being prideful. Stop overcompensating. Mm-hmm. All those things that made you hard.
Yes.
And in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, for godly grief produces repentance. We're talking about repentance again, that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So
yeah.
In the Amplified, godly sorrow, we're talking about repentance, that is in accord with the will of God, produces repentance with leading to salvation. And I believe in progressive sanctification. But worldly sorrow, the hopeless sorrow of those who do not believe, produces death. So as God begins to, as you begin to repent from things, turning away, sometimes doing restitution, in some cases, because of, depending on what you're actually being repenting from, you have to be patient and do what it takes. And you have to understand what repentance really is meant to produce. Remember, mm-hmm. I just said it. Brokenheartedness it may produce for you. Not for you to be depressed and pull the shades down and roll up in the bed. No. But truly bring you into a place where you're more sensitive and contrite and humble and submissive to God.
Amen.
And there's a level of strength in that. That we don't have to know it all. We don't have to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
We really take our hands off the wheel. This is one the road to repentance, the level of humility, fasting and praying sincerely. See, God has a redemptive plan from the beginning and an active plan. It's ancient and it's relevant to today. So everything that he planned for us and how he saw us in his thought from the very beginning, even before we were here, is relevant today as it pertains to your road to recovery, not just recovery, your road to wholeness spiritually, to be used, to be healed. Some people will be watchmen. Some people will deal with a level of deliverance they become very adept at because of training. They have to see themselves as God sees them, you know, and be able to deal with those unclean spirits in yourself as well as in others, and understanding that restoration has a strategy, and God wants you to employ that strategy in your life. Find out what it is for you. For many of us, it's the same, or there's some variations, but and I mentioned some of them tonight, and I just want everybody to be encouraged. That I'm praying that you win, but not just that. I'm praying that you realize you've already won. You already
yeah.
won. And if you believe yeah. that from the bottom of your heart, whether it makes sense to you or not, restoration, it will be a better road for you than anything. And God will teach you how to fight, and he'll tell you when not to, because he's fighting for you. He'll tell you what to do and what not to do. You have to believe. If you say, Lord, I don't even understand, just ask, but when you ask questions, wait around for the answers.
Yeah.
Wait
Amen.
Around
That's
for the
good.
Restoration
yeah.
is really about him restoring you to who you're supposed to be, not the house that resistance built. I mean, not the house that rejection built, but the house that God ordained you to be. With and protect the process that you are in. Clear out what you need to clear out. Don't become a hoarder of all this knowledge and stuff, and it's doing you no good. Knowledge, it doesn't do you any good unless you're using it. And then wisdom is at that point cultivated. So you have to realize that this isn't complicated, and I hope that I didn't make somebody feel like they can't understand this, but I find that God will make it simple for you. I just wanted to bring out a couple of points as we begin on the long, towards the end of this series, and understanding what's available to you today, and make up your mind. I'm going to end with, because somebody, if you don't got a plan for yourself and you don't agree to God's plan, somebody else got a plan for you, and it's the enemy to put you in a place where you're in a constant circle. Either you're going to be going around and around in circles, or you're going to be feeling like you're in a rocking chair, you're going somewhere, but you're really not, or you're going to be in a place where you feel like you are really in the muck and the mire. You can't get out. You're quickly, you don't have people, you've ever seen people in quicksand? And the more that they resist, the more they go down. Mm-hmm. So they just stay in one place and stay stuck as they sink further down. And God has given me that visual for a reason. And I knew when I asked him to put a word in my mouth for somebody that comes from him, it was the one that was talking about somebody going, turning back, because they felt like, what's the point? I've done all this and there's nothing that's being produced. My healing or my trying to live a different life doesn't mean anything. God says it does. For that person who is stuck, for that person who feels like they're going around in circles, I'm speaking to you today. God is speaking to you today to be still and know that he is God, and cry out to him and know that he's near to those of a broken heart. He is close to you. If your heart's being broken, if you're called confused about why am I going through all this turmoil and why am I going through all this spiritual warfare? Lord, I thought you told me that you wanted me to do this. He does. But resistance is going to come because you've decided that you don't live where you used to live. You have a different address. It's kind of like what Apostle Cook says. Change your address. Everybody is not going to be happy about you changing your address, okay, because of the path that you've decided to take, your heavenly address, where your eternal life. So, Father God, I just thank you tonight for allowing us to just keep pushing forward as it pertains to coming against and destroying the roots of the spirit of rejection. Thank you, Lord, today for that man or woman of God, even that child, Lord, who may be listening or hearing about the testimony of somebody being healed in their family, and they want to be healed in their family. They don't want to pass this down to their children, maybe a young man or a young woman. I thank you, Father God, today that you speak so clearly through your word, that your word becomes so easy to understand for that person who decides to sit down and read your word, that it just opens up. Thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding, and it's guarding our cities. It's guarding the walls are there, Lord. You're protecting us. You're setting a hedge around us, Father God, so we can be more than conquerors, so that we can be strengthened, and that we be still and let you strengthen us and not be in a hurry, but also not be slothful either. That let us not be slothful. And that, let us not be in a hurry. Let us be in time with you. Your time is not our time. So I thank you for Kairos moments that people are experiencing in the name of Jesus as they decide, I'm going to be restored. I am restored. But, Lord, break up that fallow ground in my heart. Tenderize me.
Lord.
Some of us, Lord, are being in a place where some of those relationships will not be maintained through what God is taking you through, man or woman of God. That's God's purpose. But everything that the enemy stole and you tried to replace it with something, God's going to replace it with the right relationships. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, today for that. Some people don't want to do this or are growing tired of it because they feel alone. They're alone, not the same buddies or not the same people that they were hanging with. And so they feel alone. Lord, I thank you right now that you rush in and let them know that you're close to them, and thank you for divine connections in their life. And I thank you for all these things, and we continue to pray over those who are struggling with this, that we are more than conquerors and we don't have to be overwhelmed with the process of restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Another phenomenal teaching in this series on rejection. We are overcomers, and we are already winners. I want to thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Now, if you're sitting in our studio or in our chat room and you have a comment or a question, If you're in the studio, please press your one on your keypad at this time, and it will alert me that you have a comment or a question. If you are in our chat room and you have a comment or a question, you may type it at this time. And we just want you to know that here at the Spirit Alive Network, we are a family of disciples. We are disciples that are helping to make other disciples. And we want to include you in on that process. So your voice is always welcome to be heard here. So we just encourage you, press your one, make your comments, ask your questions, because we will be more than happy and will be truly blessed to hear from you. Now, we do have some of our Spirit Alive family in the house, and I know that Mother Mitchell loves to encourage Pastor Vanessa, and she's always prepared to touch and agree. So, Mother Mitchell, if you have a short comment, come on in the room.
Amen, Apostle. Thank you. The message was so close to me in so many ways, but it also shed light on things that I need to be, places I need to be stronger in. And, you know, there's one thing she said that just really rang true to me. God always asks you questions. He knows the answer because he knows everything. So when I was smaller, I said, I wonder why God asks us questions and just telling us something. Because he knows the answer. He wants to know if we have an answer. So he wants to bless us, but he wants us to be a party to the blessing. And when you are feeling like you're so down, being a mother and father to my children, I had to flip between being soft and being hard because they needed both. But it was embedded in me to try to be both. I don't know if you can really do that. So I would turn to some of the Christian men in my church and ask them what I was supposed to do. What was the best way to handle this, the best way to go? And I had been so beat down by rejection of people and family and friends that I just didn't know which way to turn, but I thank God he's making me whole with every day I've tried to do something. I'm still party to that in a lot of ways, and it still hurts me inside, but I'm not as weak and wishy-washy about it as I used to be. And I thank you, Pastor Vanessa, for this study because it is really helping me so, so much. I thank God
amen.
For you.
Amen. I'm glad it is.
Amen.
Mother Mitchell, I'm glad to hear that. God bless.
Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We also have in the house with us tonight Apostle Zeta Flowers, and we would like to give her an opportunity to have a word if she would so desire. So, Apostle Zeta, if you are ready and available, we would love for you to come in and share your thoughts if you'd like.
Okay. I enjoyed it very much on the spirit of rejection and all that was said, but I'm in a noisy area, and I don't want the background to disturb anyone. So I'm going to bow out tonight. I'll be on next time.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we just always want to, I always want to honor God's servant leaders. And as I said, we are a family of believers who love being disciples that make disciples. Pastor Vanessa, this has been an extraordinarily dynamic and profound study, but I love the way that you bring your teachings with such clarity, and I don't think you confuse anyone unless they want to just simply be confused. But I just want to thank you because I really do believe that we have so many, we're not operating and we're not going into fair mode because we really don't, on some level, we don't feel like we're worthy. Somehow we feel like, you know, God will do it for everybody but us. And that's nothing but a spirit of rejection. Pastor has said over and over again tonight, he has already made us more than conquerors. So when we are fighting these battles, when we are dealing with the ugliness from within, we need to begin to develop a spirit of warfare because we need to understand, as she said, everybody's not going to be impressed when you're the one being blessed. Everybody is not going to be impressed when you change your eternal address and you start living for Christ for real, when you start walking in what he created you to be for real. They want to, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there because they don't really feel that they're worthy or they don't really feel totally accepted. They still want to hoard that word. They still want to walk around and they want to carry their big Bibles and they want to have all the trappings of being a super Christian. But they have no substance because deep down inside, they're still just scared individuals that's praying that we don't reject them. So a little love and a compassion and a demonstration of grace can go far to help someone to begin to understand that they can be healed from that spirit of rejection. So, Pastor Vanessa, this has been such a wonderful, wonderful series. I am enjoying it so much, and I know that you have more to come. So I'm just praising God for you and your obedience to God, and I'm just praising God for everyone that heard your anointed teachings. They bless me. They confirm. They affirm. And they just edify. So, my dear sister, I want to thank you. I want to thank Mother Mitchell, and I want to thank Apostle Flowers. I want to thank all of you around the world that take time out of your day to make the Spirit Alive Network a part of your daily lives. So on behalf of myself, the anointed pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and Apostle Zeta Flowers, we want to all thank you for being a part of our Spirit Alive family. We want to thank you for joining us this evening, and we pray that you will continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. So it is our fervent prayer that you all continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network. Go in peace, everyone. Good night. Good night, Pastor.
Good night, everybody. Good night, love Mother you guys. Good night.
Love you.
Love you.
Good night.
God bless.